Blog Talk Radio.
We are good.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to All Things Charity with Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy December 12th. We're in a new year. This is Richard Rosman coming at you from LA Talk Channel 2, Sundays at 4 o'clock. You can reach us at richard.rosman@allthingscharityradio.com. Go to the website, www.allthingscharityradio.com. Call in 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. Kicking off a new year, what are you going to do in 14 that maybe you're going to leverage on what you did in 13 in regards to being a participant in life rather than a watcher in life, rather than lending a hand, rather than basically not doing anything? And where I go with that, I heard an analogy from the famous Zig Ziglar, the motivational guy. And Zig is now in his 80s, and he really doesn't work much anymore. But Zig came up and said, one day, right after the first of the year, he went into the gym. Now, he'd used to being able to, you know, and he didn't take into account that it was New Year's resolutions. I defy any of you, you go into the gym right now, you're going to see the line behind every machine. You're going to see the crowds because it's New Year's resolutions. We're going to get rid of that excess baggage that we may have picked up for the Christmas dinner and all of that kind of stuff. And you know how long the head of the gym told Mr. Ziglar that? He said, don't worry about it, Zig. Within a couple of weeks, we'll be back to normal. That all of these people with their great, grandiose ideas of making a difference in their own lives and their New Year's resolution of going to the gym will have dissipated, and then we'll be back where we were. Is that a commentary on humanity? Is that a commentary on where are we? We want to do things, but the carrying out of doing those things? You see where I'm going with this? We plan that, okay, this is the year we're going to do, and you fill in the blank. This is the year, but using back to the analogy, going to the gym every other day. And it stops at the end of 3 or 4 weeks. Why is that? And how do we then get beyond that where we do what we have to do, whether we like it or not? That's the essence of success. That's the essence of discipline. A disciplined life will do what we have to do. We do what is necessary, whether we feel like it or not. Heck, there's days here on Sundays where I rather be doing, don't take offense, I'd rather not be at the radio show, I'd rather be at the beach, I'd rather be in the mountains. We all have that. Is there a day, now let's stretch that a bit, to philanthropy. As you know, that's what this show is about. All Things Charity Radio, every week we have a wonderful nonprofit on with a wonderful human being who is making a difference, and they're telling their story. They're someone who does. Every single day, they get up and they make things happen. And I'm sure there are times when they're exhausted. They may not feel good. They may have a headache. They may have every excuse that we all use. Or American Idol is on and I got to watch the final. And rather than going out and putting together that report, the people on the show are doers. And the example is there, is that we do what needs to be done in all aspects of their life, of all aspects of our lives, whether we like it or not. Okay, today our guest, and I've had her on before, I'm honored to be on her board, is Dr. Lillian Osmois from the Osmois Foundation. And we just touched a little bit on our South African trip. We went to South Africa as a foundation back in October, and the experiences of the foundation members interacting with the folks from Soweto, actually visiting Mandela's house, actually going to Robben Island where he was incarcerated for so long, was impactful and we look back now, we look back on it, Sheila and I look back on it and go, is that a dream? Did we really do that? And when we visited some of the different areas in Soweto, which is really, really a poor place, the schools, the churches, the hospitals, I mean, each one left a flavor and a taste that why is this so hard on these people? How come it's not working here where the dropout rate, we think our dropout rate is tough, theirs is tougher. We think the mortality rate is tough, ours is tougher. AIDS epidemic, I mean, it's a degree of despair. And yet within that environment, there are people who have said, I will make a difference. And we've aligned ourselves with those people. And Dr. Lillian will expand on that. So first of all, welcome Dr. Lillian Osmoa to the All Things Charity Radio.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, everyone listening. And Happy New Year to you. It's going to be a great year, and I believe for everybody. You've said it all, Richard. It's amazing. You know, when we make promises or we think we've decided on what to do, we pledge and everything, and at the end, we fall short of it. This year, I believe by this time, most people have decided or made plans on what to do. And like me or most other people, we want to do the things that we are supposed to do or have done we didn't do last year. And that's moving on forward, doing what is right, helping people, helping ourselves too, and making sure that we're in the right places at the right time. It's not easy. But that's our New Year pledge, I would say, because sometimes you pledge what you can't do or what you don't really finish doing. Mm-hmm. So that's about it. Yeah, you mentioned our going to South Africa. We told you all last year about October that we're going to South Africa. We did. We went with a group of 9 people, wonderful volunteers that it was really a very compassionate journey, life-changing. And most of us who had not been there before, this is the time in our life where you look at what you are doing or what you met over there. You could say, thank God I'm a part of this. You know, we met with a group of people that I describe as very appreciative people, people who had nothing. They had nothing. When you compare them with us here, they have nothing. And yet they are asking for just very little of us. So no matter what we did, which was through your help, you know, it was great for them. They were very appreciative. Over there, we served over 2,000 people on one specific day that we called the Asamoah Day on that day. And it was with needy people, which included orphans and widows, men, women, and children of all ages from different villages. Richard, you mentioned it. We went to Soweto. We were in Rudaport. I think that's the main city there. There's Sepisong and Krugerport, so many cities that I won't remember now, but we went to different villages. We saw people in their homes. We saw them in their small groups. And then, on a Saturday, we had the event that brought people from everywhere.
I think it was, yes.
It was really life-changing. Some of these people were sick, not yes. Just poor, but sick. Some could not walk. Some were blind. Some just needed counseling. Some had AIDS. You know, it's like for every 10 people or 15 people, there's 3 or 4 people who will come for AIDS and who had AIDS and needed prayer. You know, we did spiritual counseling and prayer too. We just tried to cover everything within our reach that we could do for them. If you visit our website, you will see a clip of the video of what we did. Those blankets came from here or was bought with money from here. You will see young kids being happy. Most of those clothes came with us, you know, and it made us happy that they rejoiced to have it and to dance for us with mm-hmm. it and everything. So it was a great journey for us. We did visit other places, like as you mentioned, Richard Mandela's place, which was really very heartwarming, I would say, for us, because he was still alive. We were able to see where he lived and where he lived before he got into the political problem. Robben Island, saw his cell where he was imprisoned and all the torture and everything that went there. On that note, that's for us to appreciate. It wasn't like we were doing anything, but with the people we went to see, we felt like our mission was accomplished. These people were grateful, people who are happy to have us around. I don't know if I forgot anything. You were with us, Richard. You were one of the main people mm-hmm. there. In case I've forgotten anything, you let me know.
Sheila and I absolutely, when I came home and I said, the Osmo Foundation is going to go to South Africa. And comfort zones are interesting places. And Sheila goes, well, where are we going to visit? I go, I think we're going to visit the poorest of the poor. And I said, are you okay with that? Of course, she goes, yeah, I'm okay with that. Are you? And are you going to feel safe? Are you going to feel comfortable? Are you going to feel, how do you make the leap from comfortable middle-class environment in the States to what we saw over there? And the power of God or the power of whatever or the power of now is just basically said, you know what, let's go for it. And like Dr. Lillian said, eight others or six others besides Sheila and I went on this trip. It was transforming, seeing people joyful and happy living in a shack. Said it all. And I say a shack. You call it a shotgun house. Why? Because you could shoot a shotgun through it, not hit anything. It was a house just with a roof. And so many people lived in houses like that. Now the government's building other houses for them with, you know, with running water and bathrooms and all that. But there's still so many people live in these hovels, and yet they are joyful. Just we wondered what could we bring to them, and in bringing ourselves, they were ecstatic. They sang for us. They danced for us. They were all over us. They wanted to be in pictures with us. It was. It still seems so surreal. And Dr. Lee, you made it happen. There's one special person over there you might want to talk a little bit about. I think is a saint is Apostle Margaret and her our person on the ground there. People always say, well, you know, who's watching the store, so to speak, if you send money there and you're not there? Apostle Margaret's our person there. But what did you talk a little bit about her?
Apostle Margaret, herself and many others stand out
yes.
a lot. But she's the main person that coordinates everything. Very yes. energetic woman, mm-hmm. a true Christian. And when I say a true Christian, I know what I'm saying. She loves what she's doing. She loves God's children. And it's like she works like she has the Bible in her head, and doing her missionary journey. She goes from city to city, village to village, looking out and watching and giving and helping people. And she is our main person there, and mm-hmm. she takes care of everything that we send or the people that we serve. Apostle Margaret, she's not like a young woman, but no. she's another Mother Teresa
yes.
in that country or in that part of the country. And yes, we believe in her and what she does. We trust her, and she's very good. There are many yes. other people
yes.
too who are outstanding there, people who support her by helping her in doing what she's doing. Dexter, was another man that helped so much. But I would like to mention a few of the people or young people that we serve. There's a young man there, Cardi, who's 17 years old.
Oh,
he's
my
blind.
God, Cardi, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cardi is blind, a very wonderful young child, you know, and he loves music. Music is his passion. And he sang. What was the song?
He sang like a bridge over troubled water. So I remember
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful, yeah, yeah. Beautiful voice. But Hardy does not have parents. They are gone, and they are gone. You know, young parents, and you can imagine, could be AIDS or yeah. And she's living with an aunt who is halfway blind. And needs help. Mm-hmm. You know, these are some of the people we saw, and he needs help to continue with music, mm-hmm. which is his passion, the mm-hmm. love of his heart. Young people there that stand out, young girls who are now parents to their mm-hmm. siblings,
yes.
because their parents have passed, you know, maybe they had AIDS. Grandmothers or great-grandmothers, a 90-year-old woman, yes, who is now father, mother, and everything for grandchildren, great-grandchildren, because her children are gone. One of them actually has only one family member left. With her seven children, she now has one family member, a grandchild, 19 years old, left. The rest have passed, and most of them died because of AIDS. So there's poverty, there's sickness, there's every kind of thing there that's haunting these people. The homes are not like what we have here, you know. Don't get me wrong, there are people who live in real beautiful homes, but on the other side of town, you wonder what's going on. Mm-hmm. Those are the people we go to, and they were described as the forgotten group of people.
Yes.
You know, there's no appetite there anymore, but not everybody has embraced that new cake or something, and it doesn't seem like it's coming fast or mm-hmm. soon, mm-hmm. you know. So a whole lot of people there, you know, stand out. We did what we could, you know.
Well, Dr. Lillian, we visited so many things, and I think why don't we go through a couple of the visits. Want to talk about the hospital we visited and what collectively I remember coming out of there. I was so depressed that the needs of this place are so overwhelming, and the doctors are stretched, and you know they're working for a pittance, and these are the most some very very prominent and very very good physicians, and you know they laid their case out but what was your impression of the hospital?
Well, having seen so many hospitals
okay.
here and abroad,
sure.
you can't compare what we saw with what's here. And then I think the people are working hard. They try to keep that place clean, mm-hmm. but you can see that it needs a lot of work.
Yes.
And the patients need help more than just coming to hospital. It's The section that bothered me more was the side for mother and child, the ward for mother and child. And it was like the hospital was mainly for women and their babies. Most of the kids, 90% or even close to 100% of them are children born with problems. Mothers are very young,
yes.
young girls who just don't have it, and probably they are sick themselves. Children are premature, or they are what they call kangaroo babies, you know. Mm-hmm. Who knows if they will survive or what. But these people are working hard to keep the place going.
Yes.
We visited them, we helped them, we've helped them in the past, and their need is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something we can handle unless we get the help anywhere, then mm-hmm. we're there. So we do what we could, you know, each time. And seeing that place in person, physically being there, was really very touchy for all of us. Mm-hmm. And They had a physician who said he started there as a clerk or a cleaner and then worked there for over 40 years. During that period, he went to school and he went to medical school, became a physician, is working there. So it's like he is known there. And the head nurse of the place, you know, both of them for 40 years have been there from childhood, middle school, and now they've grown there. It's like they are attached to that place. And for us, seeing it for the first time, I personally feel attached to that place because I just see those young girls and their little baby, tiny babies that you pray that those kids will make it. You know, that's my feeling about that hospital.
And we chose that one. You could have chosen so many hospitals in that area are suffering from the devastation of the AIDS epidemic, the devastation of illness, lack of qualified, trained physicians and everything. It's but there was the doctor, the in charge and everything else, he seemed to have such a joyful attitude. He was saying, like, he knew that his life meant something, that he made a difference there. At that particular place, he made a difference, and he basically put his finger in the dike of the leaking dike or the dam, and he was holding it back himself with sheer effort. It was remarkable. The nurse, same thing. Okay, Dr. Lillian, the school. Remember the school. We visited a high school, and I don't know if it was a high school or it was a grammar school, but anyway, we visited the school. that was also an oasis, so to speak, that these young people seem to, in all of the demoralization or the depression, here these young people are in school. Want to talk about your experience? You know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a high school, yeah. Or maybe they call it grammar school.
Yes.
Young kids. Everything that we saw there. It's a school where 90% or did they say 98% of the students don't graduate.
Yes.
Yeah. It's either they drop out because of lack of fund or school fee they can't pay, or they are not able to because of drugs,
yes,
violence, gang, and everything. And this is in the heart of the city, you know, in the inner city area, the black and colored children. They have blacks, they have colored, and they have whites in South Africa. So for the colored and black children where that gang thing is more prevalent, this is what they suffer. And most of the kids, we ask them questions. Actually, we had them in a conference, and we asked, how many of you here know somebody, a friend, a family member, or who that does a drug or something? Every hand went up, which means they know it's there, and probably they do the same. But the unfortunate thing is that it's all over the place. The parents are no longer able to stop it because if the family, the breadwinner, the man is gone, the woman does not have enough to feed the family. This child brings money from wherever. So there's no way the mother will fight against it because that's their only means of putting money or food on the table. So these kids would rather go out and do things like that, drugs, violence, fights, you know, gun shooting and everything, rather than be in school. And besides, being in school, some of them are very smart. They wouldn't have the money to go to college. So what's the point of being in school? That's what they say. So it's really just very disturbing that these young boys and girls, very smart kids, cannot stay in school because it doesn't make sense. There's no money for them to continue. There's no hope when they finish because there's no job. Nobody cares. But it was nice that we went because they felt, the school principal and the teachers, they were happy. It's to them like there are people who care about you. Even though they don't live here, they care about you and they want you to succeed. And it's only very little amount of dollars that will help these children to stay in school, you know. Well, whereas here, well, it's like what you will use to put a child through school here, you can use it for five or six kids over there. That's what makes it really very tough to comprehend. You know, that's what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't mean to start the year off on a downer, but we need to recognize, we need to realize, we need to accept that there are, in 2014, young people, old people, men, women, and children who are living in dire circumstances while the rest of us go on, and it's not a guilt trip, it's just the reality of it. There are people who are hopeless, have despair, because of Dr. Lillian's foresight with the Osmo Foundation, we were able to go to South Africa. We've been working down there before through Apostle Margaret and have done remarkable things. We've been down there where just a blanket. South Africa is not a equatorial area. And you know what? You take a look at the weather tides. It gets cold in Johannesburg. It gets cold in Cape Town. It gets cold. People need blankets. And something as fundamental as a blanket, we were giving away blankets, and you would have thought we gave them trays of gold when we saw the smile on the people's faces. It was very, very heartwarming and very, it made us feel, are we doing enough and are we making a difference? And it comes down to the starfish story. Dr. Lillian, picks up one starfish and says to this starfish, to this one person in this particular place who gets this blanket, we are making a difference, but we could do so much more with so much help. Now, Dr. Lillian, okay, so we visited the healthcare facility and we visited the school, which is pretty down. When we've spent the day with the people that one Saturday when there was the gathering, all of that was sort of, the downness wasn't there. I mean, they were happy, they were joyful. That day was special. Any insights or comments on and there had to be 2,000 or 3,000 people there.
Yes, I would think we had about 2,000 people there, maybe a little more. And the highlight of it was the joy, the happy faces, mm-hmm. and the appreciation, the gratitude on what we did or what we gave them. They were given bags of food, blankets, you know, some of them wrapped the blankets around them immediately, took pictures. We gave clothing, we gave books, inspirational books for those who can read. What else did we do? We gave so many things, you know.
Clothes. Oh, we had clothes. That clothes,
shoes,
my God, shoes.
Clothes, yeah. Pants, shirts, and
backpacks.
Backpacks, yes. Books, children's books, toothpaste and toothbrushes, everything. Things for their hair, the girls, just a lot. Things I don't even remember now, but We did give them things that made them happy. That's the most important thing. They were all happy. And especially, I think one lady actually thanked me for the food. Mm-hmm. You know, she was very happy with the food, and the older ones were so excited with their new blankets. Mm-hmm. Some of them got clothes that were their size right mm-hmm. there. And like I mentioned, some of the younger ones went and changed and put on what they got and danced with it. That was a blessing.
That was very powerful.
Yeah,
that was.
That was. It was great, and it was a blessing to them and to us. It made us like we felt like we could do more, you know. Yes, and there are more things that we have planned and we are doing to help these people. The school, well, we agreed within us that the school needs help, especially the children, to help them stay in school and graduate.
Yes.
And that's what we are doing. And those who need food will get food. Those who
yes.
need education will get education, you know.
Yes.
And many things need to be done. We're helping there, and we're helping also from South Africa, I can mention, to Nigeria, the
mm-hmm.
many things that we are doing to support people everywhere, no matter where they are, if we can reach them, and if we could do, we verify their need, and we are there. We're doing
mm-hmm.
our best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned before the show, we were always looking to go to, because our original focus was Nigeria, and we had the subsidiary stuff going on in South Africa with Apostle Margaret, that the possibility of a trip that I don't want to put pressure, but we may do an Osmo Foundation trip sometime in October, November of this year, a 14, sort of like an outreach program like we did in South Africa. Compare the two countries. Is it about the same, or in regards to school, education, healthcare, and all that, or is Nigeria a step better or a step worse? I hate to compare, but after what we saw in South Africa, I can't imagine anything being much worse. You don't have to answer. Don't answer that. They had their own
no,
needs. Don't
no,
answer that.
I would say something. Say something. You know, we already mentioned it. You can't say exactly which one is worse.
Right.
Yeah,
that was not a fair question. No.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a good question. You know, people have to know these places are really where people are desperate.
Desperate. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the word
desperate.
Yeah.
You know, in Nigeria, several times that I've been there, we have like maybe 20,000 or so, you know, in one place or combined two events.
20,000?
Yes. These people, there are specific people that we help. But on an event day, you have people coming from everywhere. So it goes from the regular 500, 600 or 1,000 to several thousands, you know. And you see them, you know they need help.
Yes.
You know, you don't even have to wait for them to complain.
Right.
You know, like I said, we're talking about South Africa now because that's the recent one.
Right.
You know, in both places you see sick people.
Yes.
You see the blind, you know, old or young. You see the crippled on wheelchair or there's no wheelchair. You know, just different kinds of...
Sure.
problems, but they all amount to the same thing. These people don't have.
Our original, the original mandate of Osmo Foundation was orphans and widows in need, and the main thrust then was Nigeria. You gave a number one time about the number of people that have been served by the Osmo Foundation in Nigeria, and I don't want to throw that number out, but it was quite high. How many people do you believe or do you know that we have served in Nigeria? No, ladies and gentlemen, we're away from South Africa now, and what we did there,
okay.
We're on Nigeria. How many people have we served in Nigeria?
We have served so many.
Awesome.
I would say hundreds of thousands.
That's what I figured.
But when you come to, like, specific daily people we reach,
right.
It's less than that.
Of course.
But I'm adding event days.
Sure.
And you know, these people are widows and orphans.
Yes.
In Africa, I would say Nigeria and South Africa, if you are not a widow, you don't come to accept where widows are called.
Right.
Coming from Nigeria myself, I know that it's a cost for you to join widows when you are not a widow. You're not accepted. Your conscience or the culture will not let you. So I have a problem seeing these many people, and I keep wondering, where did the men go?
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of children.
Oh,
so, you know,
right.
It's really very hard over there, you know. Most of them are dying from AIDS,
from
gang rivalry, from just any kind of thing. Young people just drop out of school for no reason, you know, so that's a problem, you know, in both places it's happening. And then we cannot do it alone. If other people support us or do something on their own, you know, that's what I pray for, just to help these people in any form.
The OSPO Foundation has been working on a center of and teaching widows how to make a living. The old adage: you give somebody a fish, it's not going to help. But if you teach them how to fish, they're able to become self-sustaining. We've had some self-sustaining programs for widows and those suffering for years over there. Can you comment on some of the programs and maybe mention some stories where we can leave our listeners at least a little bit happier? Say there's some success out there rather than demoralization.
Okay, you know, in Nigeria, we have two separate entities. We have the OWINA, which is Orphans and Widows in Need Association, and we have the Gold Crest Family Center, which is in the west. The other one is in the east, and we serve in both places. Major thing we are doing now is to put up this infrastructure, a vocational center, which is almost completed.
Great.
Yeah, it's almost done now, a vocational center to help the widows and the orphans, or maybe those women who maybe they are not widows and they can get help from us, you know, to help them, train them. It will be like a base for basic training in many trades, such as sewing, tailoring, hairdressing, weaving, catering, cloth dyeing, which is, they call it batik, craft making, you know, any kind of things that they will lay their hands on, learn how to do it, and use it to help their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we are doing, because just giving them, like you said, fish does not help. You teach them how to fish by themselves. So that's what we are doing in the east, in Abia State. But in the west now, we already have a vocational training center, but we are helping to build a health center.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, in the west.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
A few years ago, I traveled to the place. It was very pathetic when I mentioned no hospital, no school. And through Gold Crest Family Center, we put a two-room classroom for the younger kids, because somebody has to take them every morning and walk 6 miles to another village where there's a school. Even in this era, I didn't believe such happened. So that school will serve for the 5 and 6 year olds before they get old enough to walk that distance.
Mm-hmm.
Now the health center is coming up, which I very much love, because we had twins. I still have the pictures when I went there, that were born and their mother just passed, because there wasn't enough time to take her to the hospital, and there was no hospital around anyway. So two other women were taking care of the twins. So these are the things they need. I mean, but unfortunately, that's what the government should do for them. But they're not doing it.
No.
So we're putting up a health center where somebody or some volunteers will come and help the people. That's in the west, and of course, you know, here in Los Angeles, where we are doing the Foundation Center. You know, it will help us with the arts college tours for kids. Yes,
the OSPO Foundation is clearly expanding its horizons and also expanding its mandates to so many different places, too, in Nigeria and South Africa, and of course the ACTS program here in LA. I know this takes money, and for those folks who are, you know, sometimes we hear people say, it's Africa, I donate money to Africa, how do I know my money goes to where it should? Go to the website, you'll see exactly what the percentage of overhead is at the Osmo Foundation and where the money goes. We look, Sheila and I donate, we know where the money goes. So would you talk a little bit about the needs of the foundation, Dr. Lillian? One thing, and you got to quite understand, people say they can't make a difference. People say they can't do anything. When you see what this one woman with her insight and with her vision has motivated and has moved thousands and has moved a foundation into areas where people said you can't make a difference. One person is doing that. And she did it basically, you know, with a board support. But a lot of times she'd tell us where we're going and we would just scratch our head and go, how the heck are we going to do that? And it manages to get done. I feel like, what's your vision for the foundation and how can people help?
My vision has always been, in my own words, that things will get better. Looking at the foundation progressing, growing, and being able to help even more people than we are helping now. So that's my vision, and I believe it will happen. But it will not happen with just me or the foundation alone doing the work. You know, according to the Bible, there's a whole lot of work to do. The harvest is plenty. Mm-hmm. But we don't have enough workers, so we need more help. Mm-hmm. And you can make a difference with just very little thing that you may not even think about. If it's donating money, some people will say, I don't have $1,000 or $500 to give. Your $1 will make a difference. Mm-hmm. Whatever you give will make a difference. We need people who can support us. Now we're building a vocational center. It will be equipped. We need help. We're building this foundation center. It will be equipped. We need help. Same thing with the health center. We can't just put up a building and say, oh, we've done it, let's go. It doesn't mean anything. We do need help. Either to finish what we started and to equip it and to make it work. And I believe this will be good for everybody. That's the more reasonable way, I would say fruitful way, to help these people rather than just handing them little handouts, feeding them today, and then we don't know what they do the next day. So we do need help. Anyhow, anybody can help. You know, whatever touches your heart, financially, we have our websites. You can call us. You send what you have. Whatever you send, like I said, makes a difference. Anything you give, you are making a difference in the world, in the lives of these people. And they know that I am not doing it alone. The foundation is not doing it alone. They mention all our supporters, and they thank you, and they believe in you. So as I believe in you, they believe in you. That's about it. We have our website.
Go ahead. How does people find you, Dr. Lillian? How do they find the website? Where do they go?
Okay, the website, www.buildingtoday.org. www.buildingtoday.org. You'll find us there. You want to email us at info@buildingtoday.org. On our website, you will see on your right-hand corner, it will say donate. Mm-hmm. And then you can donate to whatever cause you want. That will help us. You want to call us on the phone, 310-325-0009. Or you send us a check to P.O. Box 3343, Torrance, California, 90510. Again, P.O. Box 3343, Torrance, Torrance, California, 90510. That will help. And we appreciate your help. We appreciate your listening.
We're not quite wrapped up yet.
We're not gonna, you know, you got
a few more minutes. I'm gonna do a commercial for Dr. Lillian. See,
okay.
She gets embarrassed, but when you see somebody, again, there's that New Year's resolution. You know, are you gonna go into the gym? Are you gonna do the treadmill? How long is it gonna last? Now, in terms of your spiritual goals and dreams, what are they going to say? Let's get morbid here, when you leave the planet. I happened to have an honor. I did a talk at a funeral of a friend Saturday, and this person had been Volunteer of the Year. This person had been involved, I can mention Rotary, for over 50 years, which is service above self. The crowd at that funeral was enormous because people realized that this life was one of giving back. Dr. Lillian is one of those people. You too can be one of those who are making a difference by teaming up with folks like Dr. Lonaz Mood. That's the whole purpose of this show, is to bring you people into your front room that you could say, God, she can do that. We can do. We can help. Let's inquire. So Dr. Lillian, in the last couple of minutes, again, tell us, how do we reach you? How can they get to the website, phone number, all of that, and then we'll sign off.
Okay, I repeat.
All right, okay, no, it's all about asking.
Yes. First of all, I know you've made your New Year resolutions or your pledge. You can still add some more to it. It's still early in the year, and if you haven't made it, please add the Asomoga Foundation to your list. Mm-hmm. We need your help. You can reach us. If you want to call us on the phone, 310-325-0009. Our website is www.buildingtoday.org. www.buildingtoday.org. You can email us at info@buildingtoday.org. info@buildingtoday.org. If you want to write us a check, you can mail it to the Asomoga Foundation, P.O. Box 3343, Torrance, California, 90510.
Amen.
Thank you.
Dr. Lillian, your faith has seen you through.
Amen.
And you have the faith to keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, there is sometimes there's people out there that see a need, and like the Good Samaritan, they actually chose to make a difference. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? There were those that chose to ignore it. Dr. Lillian has embraced it. It's her mantle about, it's her mandate, it's her passion, it's her vision to make a difference in the world. And all of those who follow and help out with the Osmuda Foundation will be blessed beyond belief. This is Richard Rosman for All Things Charity Radio, signing off for another. I'm a little emotional on this one. Going to South Africa is amazing. Signing off for another Sunday. God bless you all. Have a great week.
You're listening to All Things Charity with Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.